Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you, sir. We praise you. Make a declaration with me. Father God,
I decree
in agreement with your word,
that the earth and the fullness thereof
are the Lord's. The gold is yours.
The silver is yours.
All that is therein
is yours.
And it's your good pleasure
to give your
kingdom
to your children.
As one of your children,
I receive my share.
Give you praise for it.
And determine to use it
to magnify
you
in your kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, the men of valor will be putting notes in your hands any moment now. We've been talking for a season about the kingdom of God, and we'll be continuing that tonight. Praise team, thank you. Pastor appreciation is actually not for pastor. I know some people, not understanding how God works, think pastor appreciation is for pastor. But actually, pastor appreciation is for the people. Because the Word of God teaches that as in the same way you receive me, you're receiving God. So anytime you take advantage of an opportunity to honor pastor as God's representative, to bless pastor as God's representative, then you're opening the door for God in your life, and you're telling God how much you appreciate him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, some churches used to think that they could starve their preacher out, and that was because they had a pastor dumb enough to be starved out. I learned that my God supplies all of my needs is not a theory, it's a way of life. And my God supplies all of my need.
Yes.
And if no one ever gave anything to me, my God would still supply my need.
Yes.
But I can tell you, I'm good ground.
Yes.
And as God's representative, I'm a channel for you to receive from and be blessed of God.
Yes.
So Pastor Appreciation Day should really be Congregational Opportunity Day.
Yes.
Because you get a chance once a year to tell God how much you want to be blessed of him and how much you think of his representative.
Right.
Well, Pastor, we don't like you. We'll keep your money. Keep your time. Don't buy a ticket. Don't come. But I'll tell you this. When you honor God's word and you expect that as you honor his servant, he will honor you, then get ready. Because
yes,
ain't nothing can stop you now. So I'm excited about pastor appreciation and what God's going to do in your life. And I hate that we only have, at this time of year, people giving testimonies of what has happened in their life because they began to relate to pastor and what he did. But church, it'll change your life. Not because it's me as an individual, but me as God's representative. Now, he's quite a bit better looking than I am, but hey, I'm just representing. The kingdom illustration. I have walked in, talked in, looked at, and missed some of the relevant points that we will be sharing with you tonight. And I want to say to the ministers of the body, if any of you have insight, revelation, something more to add to, the Word of God tells me that if there's one of the ministers sitting by and they've got something to say on the subject, that I'm to give them the floor and let them speak. Now, it didn't say if they just want to get up and talk. But if they have something of the Lord on that subject, then at this house we're scriptural. And so I want the ministers tonight to be ready. And it would behoove you to be close enough to make a run for the aisle before someone beats you here. I began by pointing out the fact that our Lord and Redeemer didn't preach sermons. Our Lord and Redeemer didn't take a text and try and build 3 points in a poem. Our anointed Redeemer, Yeshua, was on the earth to show us at what level of life it is possible for a child of God to live. Ruling over the winds, the waves, the sea, everything. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not one of the fivefold ministry. It don't matter. If you're a child of God, God lives in you. And he said to every child of God, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. Freely you have received, freely give. So you can do the works of God. But somehow along the road, the church got messed up and got to fighting sin and battling the devil and worrying about everybody's dress, everybody's conduct and comportment. And church, we have been robbed of lordship. Because people come to God, I repented of my sins and I got saved. No, fool. Nobody ever got saved by repenting of their sins. You are redeemed and born again by believing in God. Now, there is some element of belief in God, or you wouldn't be confessing your sins. But you see, that's partial obedience, and partial obedience is not obedience at all. He didn't say, come to me and believe that I can forgive you. He said, come to me and believe that I'm Lord over everything that's beset you, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, in every realm of your life. Because once you experience my lordship, you're part of my kingdom, you're not a Christian. You're a child of the King. But the church is majored in what are allowable and what are not allowable sins. And there's only one sin that God really has a problem with, and that's unbelief. Now, it can be unbelief on steroids when you, having experienced the Holy Spirit, deny His reality. And that is blasphemy, but it is still a sin of unbelief. Because now you have gone from belief to unbelief, and that's a compounded unbelief, because that's not like, well, I never believed and I never realized. No, you realize, you taste it, you know that God is real, and now you say it never was. That one, you're going to die in that one. But the devil lies to people and tells them you've committed the unpardonable sin. No. Unless you have received God as your Lord, as your Redeemer, and His Holy Spirit as your baptizer, and then you've denied that it ever happened, that it was ever real, then you got a problem. But up to that point, the very fact that you feel guilt lets you know that Satan knows you've got something he'd like to take from you, or there wouldn't be guilt for it. The fact that you would like to be right with God but aren't sure you want to pay the price says God is still dealing with you. But we're talking about the kingdom of God and getting an understanding of the kingdom of God, and so we're still in Kingdom 101, or Matthew chapter 13. And tonight we're going to look at this, and as I said, any of the ministers that have some of those areas get it, but when the Lord opened this arena and said, look at what you're reading, I went, whoa, I've been reading over this and not reading out of this. Yeah. Now, some people make the mistake of reading into the Word of God because they've got a belief structure and they're trying to find a verse that they can twist enough to make it fit their belief structure. Then there's other people that want to read from the Word of God. I want to read from the Word of God. But he said, come and learn of me. And he is the Word. He was a masterful teacher. And our Lord taught revelation truth. Truth that's been there from the very foundation of the earth, but people didn't see it. He used words and often illustrations to give insight through glimpses into the kingdom operation of Jehovah, Lord of hosts. How God gets things done. Using words and the fact that God said is not history, it is revelation. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with companion to God, and the Word was God, creative, in operation. He's saying that the Word of God was there when creation began. Now, I want you to notice that I've done something the King James didn't do. The King James says, in the beginning. But that wasn't the beginning, because God was already here. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, was already here. Earth was already here. So this wasn't the beginning, but in beginning this dispensation. The Word was a part of that. The Word was a companion to God, and the Word was the creative nature or force of God. He, the Word, was in operation when the beginning occurred with God. God always was, God always will be. All things came into being through Him, the Word, and apart from Him, the Word, nothing came into being that has substance. The Word based it all. Everything that you can touch with your senses came out of God said. There are two systems at work in the earth. The world system of thought and behavior, which is the kingdom of darkness. When a person is born again, the first admonition to that person being born again and having received the Yeshua HaMashiach as Lord of their life and of all the kingdom they're entering into, the first admonition is, get your mind straight. He says, now that you've presented yourselves a living sacrifice to God, let your mind be renewed, because you don't want to stay on the altar. You want to go beyond it to the throne. Too much of the church still has our Redeemer on the cross, not on the throne. And He can't transform your life suffering for you. He can only transform your life ruling and reigning over what's bugging you. There are two systems at work in the earth. The world system of thought and behavior, which is the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of God's system of being and doing under direction of the Spirit of truth. This is the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of God's holy or God's dear Son. There are two systems at work. One of them wants to work through your senses. The other wants to work through your spirit. So when you have half a mind to give someone, what you're giving them is not God. Because God doesn't tempt you to give anybody a piece of or half of anything. He wants you to have all. Until a person's eyes are opened in the new birth, their eyes are veiled by carnal reasoning. I believe that a lot of problems in the church and why America within the church community has over 1,500 denominations, because they had 1,500 in 1978 when I went to IRS, I found that there were 1,500 denominations, not churches, denominations in the United States. Why do we have that many? Because many have not received His Lordship. They have only began to coronate their opinion of him. Their opinion of him comes out of their mind. Doesn't come out of spirit, because God is not divided. His word is not divided. His truth is not divided. His spirit is not divided. But until a person's eyes are opened in the new birth, there's a veil that they can't see. That's why it's hard to get Jewish individuals converted, because that's part of their curse, that a veil remains over them until they believe. Not until they practice, until they believe. The born-again child of God who submits to and embraces Yeshua's Lordship has their spiritual eyes open and are capable, I didn't say they do, I said they're capable of being programmed to the kingdom of light way of life. But sadly, most people only add God to what they're already living and never make that conscious change to make him Lord of their life. They add him to their life to escape eternal torment, to feel good about their past, but not to enter into his fullness. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, 11, and the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to the Jews, to the religious people? Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Why was it granted to the disciples to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Or kingdom of heaven is a mistranslation. It should be the reign of heaven. The way heaven operates. To you it's been granted to understand the way heaven operates. But to them it has not been granted. Why? They haven't submitted to lordship. You submitted to lordship. You're not born again. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit yet. But because you acknowledged lordship, you have been given the ability to understand. Did they? No, their minds had not been renewed to truth yet. But their eyes had been opened that there was a truth greater than they had. And they were after it, but they were not of it. Don't be caught as one who is after it, but not of it. Because the 12, after 3.5 years of following, were still subject to hell. Why? All that they had was a submission to lordship, not an acceptance of lordship. The master begins his instruction on the kingdom of God by pointing out the two realms of thought and understanding. He said, "They're of the carnal camp, and you, by simply submitting to my lordship, have been opened unto what is possible. You're not there yet, but you've been open to it." Now, after you receive the Holy Spirit, Acts says in the first chapter, "Go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high." Because at that time, what you're going to be plugged back into is the authority Adam fell from. And all of the teachings on dunamis and dynamite and all that are foolishness. God is not wanting you to explode everywhere. He's wanting you to rule and reign everywhere. A whole lot of Christians are good at exploding, just rub them the wrong way. They're highly volatile. But they don't demonstrate Him. They don't show His love and His mercy and His grace. People the world over are wanting to see God in you, which is the hope of God's manifest presence. People want God's presence manifest because you're there. Kingdom of heaven has one connotation. The reign of heaven has another. Why? Carnal thinking. So when you begin to read your New Testament and you see the kingdom of heaven, start thinking this: the reign of heaven. This is the way heaven wants to reign, rule in the earth. We are being shown the simple operation of the Father's rule and reign. What did God require of Adam? One thing. Don't smoke.
No.
Don't drink.
No.
Don't go flashing people. What do you require of him? Believe me. I told you. Subdue the earth. Have authority over it. Rule over it in my stead. You are my under God in the earth. What did God sow into the earth? Here's everything that's possible. Here's everything you can do. Here's everything I have for you. Here's everything I want. What was God doing? He was sowing the word into the earth. Adam, you're my man. Now, take the earth and make the earth look like what I've created here. And God planted a garden east of Eden. And God said to Adam, Adam, make the earth look like this. Now, some people want to make it simplistic and go, God made Adam a gardener. No, he didn't say, here's a shovel and a hoe and some pruning shears. He said, rule over it. In other words, it was God's will, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when Yeshua was on the earth teaching us, you can say to this mountain, be removed. He was saying to Adam, the earth has to obey you. I planted this garden here. Now go into that wilderness out there and make the whole world look like this. Not because here's a shovel and a hoe and a bag of seeds. No, because you can tell it what to do and it'll obey you. What did God require of Adam? Here's a list of commandments, Adam. Make sure you don't break any of them. No, just do things the way I do them. What is the kingdom of God? Doing things the way God would do them. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. To begin, kingdom comparison goes to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the rule of heaven, or God's reign, may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. Here's a peeking behind the curtain of fallen understanding. Originally, the God of creation sowed only good seed or word of the earth. He said, light be. He said, trees be. He said, shrub, bush, tree, flower be. Birds be. Frogs be. I'm not sure he said snakes be, but I'm not sure he said spiders or termites or No, he did. He created all those things for a purpose. Termites weren't created to destroy your house. They were created to convert the fallen trees and wood. So tell them to go back where they belong. They don't belong and they're eating your tubifores. There's trees in the forest that they could be eating. But I want you to get this, because this is where God began to open this parable to me. Because the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man sowing good seed in his field. How does that make the reign of God more meaningful to you? Honestly, most of you have read this passage dozens of times. Some of you may have read it hundreds of times. How many of you have heard more than one sermon on Matthew chapter 13? The sower sowing the word. Has it ever opened to you how the kingdom or the reign of God, the reign of heaven, works? While Adam was asleep at the controls of earth, Satan snuck in on him and sowed bad seed or words or lying words into Earth's atmosphere. So right now, let's do something. grab your Holly Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. And let's go to verse 24. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The reign of heaven may be compared." Here's how heaven operates. It can be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men, who is his man? Adam. While his man was asleep at the wheel. Now, does a person have to be snoring to be asleep?
No.
Does a person have to have their eyes closed to be asleep?
No.
But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. How does this explain to you the operation of the kingdom? We just told you, but we're going to go back over it again because I had been through this passage. I've heard some of the great men of God, women of God, teach out of this passage, and they always stop with, "The kingdom of heaven can be compared unto," and then they deal with the tares and the wheat. But he said, this gives you how the reign, the rule, the authority of heaven operates. Words. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that is made. So, did the Word make lies? Did the Word make death? Did the Word make sin, evil, confusion, anger, strife, discord? But he has begun this illustration with saying, the reign of heaven works this way. God sows only good words into the earth. Light be, man be, birds be, fish be, elephant, well, be the best you can. Platypus, we're still watching you. I know God has a sense of humor. I've looked at a platypus. You're kidding, right, God? You are kidding. But God said, I want you to understand how the kingdom works. The good farmer sows good seed, and anything that's not good didn't come from him. But when people who should be running the farm are asleep at the wheel, then the enemy comes in and sows other things. So while Adam was asleep at the wheel, not living out, Adam, subdue the earth, take authority over it, rule over it. Along came the serpent and sows into that same field some lies, and Adam let him slide on it. Now get this, when you receive the Yeshua HaMashiach of God as your Lord and Savior, and you decree that I believe that you sent your Son, He died for my sins, He died for all the wrong that's in the earth, He died to make the earth back the way you want it to be, and you raise Him from the dead triumphant over everything that was restricted, now I'm stepping into that kingdom, rule and reign, then recognize this. If you fall asleep at the wheel, the enemy will come in and sow things in your life that shouldn't be there. When you're not in tune with God, any tune will be hummed. Have you ever one day been humming something, and somebody else comes along and starts singing something else, and you stop singing what you were and start singing? At this point, Damon, there's a verse of Scripture that talks about if we harmonize as a symphony with God, we'll recognize any discordant note. But you see, if you don't recognize that, and somebody's coming by and singing their song more energetically, more emphatically, more directly, you'll find yourself picking up their tune. And that's what happened to Adam. He was singing, "God said," until the devil came along and said, "Did God really say?" He didn't come along and say, "God didn't say that," because he would have said, "Oh, yes, he did." But he said, "Did he really say that?" Now, what is God doing through his son, Yeshua? He is explaining to us how heaven's reign operates. How does it operate? Well, the Lord began to share this with me. And he said, the good farmer does what? The sower is sowing into his field. But what do we know that the sower did? He deputized and said, subdue it. Have authority over it, rule it. He only sowed what into the earth? There was only good seed sown into the earth. Light be. Rule rain. Let the seasons be this way. Let the rain come and water the earth. Let this happen. God spoke a perfect earth. And the praise team sings it how? He has. He has made a perfect, not only heart, but what? Adam was made with a perfect heart. What was the earth made? The earth was made perfect because God is a good God and there's no evil in him. But there was a fallen angel named Lucifer, who did not have the ability to be on the earth. It wasn't until this week, when the Lord was bringing me this message, that the Lord said, why was the serpent in the tree? And I said, well, why was he in the tree? And the Lord said, what do you know about the serpent? He doesn't have authority in the earth. And I said, okay, he didn't have authority on the earth, so he didn't have the right to be on the earth. But why was he in the tree? And he said, so that Adam wouldn't recognize that he was beneath him. Adam was used to looking up to God. Are you listening, church? And so Adam, being accustomed to looking up to God, didn't check the fruit, didn't check the voice, just looked up. Be not deceived. All right. And he said, the kingdom of heaven or the reign of God works this way. Good words. Anything that's not good words . What did God say about us? He said, Sean, when you really grow up to where you're not needing soup anymore, where you can handle the meat, you will be that way because your very senses have, through exercise, reached the point that you can tell what's good seed and what's to discern both good and evil. Was Adam created to discern both? He was created by good, placed in an earth where everything was good, so anything that didn't resonate good, he should have recognized. After you're born again, they that are led by the Spirit of God or the sons of God, anything that doesn't bear witness with the Spirit of God, you've got to reject. I tell people this, they'll come to me and ask me, and I'll say, listen, I don't know every doctrine, every teaching, every cult, everything that's in the earth. But understand this, whatever you hear here, doubt. Whatever you hear here, listen to and evaluate it in the light of what you already know of God. You can recognize error by simply going, does it agree with God said? So he said, God's reign works this way. Only good comes in. You as a child of God are born to operate with only allowing good in. Your filter is not your ear. Your filter is the Spirit of Truth living in you. And he, the Spirit of Truth, when he's come, will lead you and guide you. How? In all good words. And he will show you more good words to come. Because what you have at this moment is not what you're going to have as you develop in him. But while his men were sleeping, not while the master was sleeping, not while the sower was sleeping, but while his people were asleep at the wheel, they were not a country western group, they were just asleep at the wheel. But while his men were sleeping, not being alert, not being on watch, not guarding the kingdom, his enemy came and sowed lies, tricks, schemes, tares among the wheat, things that look like it. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also, because you'll know them by their fruit. What was the fruit of the tares? Thorns. What was the fruit of the wheat? Grain. You'll know them by their... The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not grow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Let's go back to your notes. Originally, the God of creation sowed only good seed, the word, into the earth. You know that from Genesis 1, 26 and 28. While Adam was asleep at the controls of earth, with which he had been given charge to rule and reign in God's stead, Satan snuck in on him and sowed bad seed or bad words. Were there any bad words in the earth before Adam listened to Lucifer? No. Could there be bad words if the under-shepherd had said, shut up, I curse those words, break them, and cast them down? And the Lord said to me here, a lot of Christians lose their relationship with me because when lies are sown into their ears, they began to contemplate it. And just like it separated Adam from me, it will separate them from me. Because in the kingdom of God, it's your job to keep the foul words out. Not just profanity, but any word that is foul of God. While Adam was asleep at the controls of earth, Satan snuck in on him and sowed bad words. How did the bad seed get into the field? How did the bad seed get into the earth? God is only sowing good seed. How did the bad seed got in? Man didn't cast it down. And every tongue that shall rise in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall call null and void of effect. You shall cast it down. Because if you don't do it, those seeds will begin to corrupt the good seed that's there. At this point, I want you to make sure you're paying attention. Quit writing notes and doing whatever. Well-meaning people of the kingdom of light and evil-minded people of the world system seem to pose the same accusatory question of God the Father that these workers were bringing to the landowner. How come there's bad crop? Didn't you sow good seed? Well, Pastor, I don't get it. How does that come? If God is in charge, how did this evil happen? Was God in charge? How did the evil happen? His under-shepherd didn't cast down every tongue that rose against him in judgment, every curse, every incantation, every soulish prayer, fleshly judgment. He didn't nullify the bad seed, and so the bad seed began to grow. People will ask, if God is good, why do bad things occur? Why does this happen? Because there are two forces at work, and we as God's under-shepherd are not corralling the bad, breaking it, cursing it, casting it down. We're going, God, I don't understand. I was going to church. I was tithing. How did I get a flat? Because another man, what is this parable telling us? Parable's telling us this. If only good words are allowed in your garden, you'll never have a problem. If only God words are allowed to grow and you refuse to allow the others, then that will be the kingdom of heaven in operation. But if you are not exercising parental controls, then evil will come and be sown into your garden. What did it take for the earth to be damaged? For Adam not to take seriously the earth the fullness thereof, I'm giving it to you, but you're going to have to exercise control over it. You're going to have to rule in it. You're going to have to reign in it. And so, as you look at this parable, he's saying, I'm showing you how the kingdom works. The kingdom works on good words. But if you let bad words in to the soil of your life, those bad words will produce. Well, Pastor, what is a bad word? Blankety blank, blankety blank, blankety blank. No, no, no. Those are just the fruit of bad words. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If the heart wasn't tainted by unbelief, those words wouldn't be there. Why does a person curse? Because they lack the emotional control and the mental acumen to describe it in proper terminology. If you do not possess the ability to express the error of a person, then you resort to calling them names. Why? Because you don't know how to refute their behavior, their position, their stand. How did bad seed get into the garden? Adam didn't stand one with God. He didn't seize the controls and go, God said, and I'm not allowing anything else. How does sickness, disease, fear, doubt, worry, torment, poverty, how do any of these things get into your life? The very same way. He's saying, the kingdom works this way. Only allow the good seed in. Because if the bad seed gets in, you're not able to deal with it once it takes root. And they came to him and said, what are we going to do about this bad seed? Do we get it out now? And he says, no. Let it grow until we come to harvest. And so that's what's operating the earth right now. Why is good things not happening to everybody? Why does evil occur? If God's so good, how come bad things happen to good people? Because those things are growing up. Because God won't deal with them until they come to fullness. And God will not intervene in our lives till we come to fullness. He said, when the crop has come and producing the kingdom, then I'll come and I'll take that evil out. Now, most of the church is preaching he's going to come and take us out and the evil gets the field. But he said, no. The evil will not get the kingdom. When you're producing the fullness, I'll come then and take the evil out of the earth. And I'll cast it into torment. So as I saw this, the Lord began to deal with me. I'm showing you how it operates. The kingdom needs God words to continue to grow and to manifest and come to the fullness of the crop I've called you to have. Because man was asleep at the wheel and allowed the evil in, if you don't decree crop failure on it, it'll continue to grow around you to affect you. But if you get healthy enough wheat, now listen, tares will only grow so high. Wheat grows higher. If the wheat grows strong enough and begins to blossom and come into fullness, it can literally choke the life and light away from the tares. Will we be able to deal with all the evil? No. Evil is in the earth, but we can keep it from stunting our growth. But, Gail, we're going to have to speak kingdom words into our mind, into our spirit, into our body, into our finances, into our outreach, into our witnessing, into our daily walk. Because he said, this is how the kingdom of God operates. You take the seed that God planted into the earth and you re-sow and plant those seeds. You reproduce those seeds. What are we going to do about the evil? What are we going to do when people come and say, well, if God's so good, how come evil happens? Because man isn't always as good as God expected him to be. Man hasn't always lived up to it. Did you ever notice that the great evil occurs in places where God is not celebrated? Well, how come there's starving people in the earth if God's good? Because there's only starving people where they deny the true God. Look at every one of the starving places on the earth. What do they have? Another God. They have begun to cultivate the tares, and the kingdom is not growing there. But in countries where there is some, I didn't say all, I said some celebration of kingdom truth and kingdom light and kingdom life, what is there? The blessings of the Lord. Well, Pastor, why is Israel so attacked and so hated? To the degree that they honor God, they're the most prosperous nation in that area. Israel feeds most of Europe with their crops. They took what was a barren wasteland that the Islamists had cut down the forest, the trees, and burned it to fuel their trains to fight their wars. And they came into that barrenness and began to replant trees. And they began to take those arid lands and began to put in farms and irrigate them and cultivate. They even found a way to grow vegetables that survive on seawater. And so some of their fields, they water with seawater from the ocean. And they have spawned vegetables that will grow on salt water. Next time you're in Israel, eat some of them. They're good vegetables. But they actually grow on salt water. Why? They've got a promise of God. And when they work the promise, there's not enough evil around them. Look at the seven-day war. Look at the different wars that Israel has been engaged in. Once they were decreed God's land, the devil has continually tried to destroy them, and yet with one day they were totally unarmed. It was illegal for them to have weapons. The next day, a war started against them, and they defeated the enemy with bees in hives. They ran out to meet tanks that were moving in on Israel. They ran out with their bees because in the Old Testament it said they'll be defeated by a hornet. They didn't have hornets, but they had bees. And they ran out and they threw the beehives on the tanks, and the bees went into the tanks. And the Arabs jumped out of the tanks and ran off. And Israel painted their national emblems on those tanks. And overnight, they had an armory because they remembered God said, and everything God said overcame. Now, when you think you're running out to attack a squadron of tanks with beehives because you remember that God said the hornet would defeat the enemy, the devil doesn't want you to read these stories and recognize that they found a verse of Scripture that said he would cause the deserts to blossom. And so they went out and began to plant in the desert. And now all those formerly desert lands of Israel are crop-bearing kibbutzes. That's collective farms. Why? They found a word of God and they turned their deserts into farmlands that are now feeding a great part. Crops that are harvested in Israel today, tomorrow, will be on breakfast tables in Europe. Some of the best fruit and vegetables that whole area knows comes out of Israel. Because every time they work a promise of God, the promise of God helps them build their kingdom. Pastor, are you worried about Iran wiping out Israel? Never happened. Why? Israel has a promise, and there ain't enough nuclear or fissionable material in Iran to overcome a promise of God. And God is saying to us, here's how the kingdom works. Keep the good seed in the ground of faith, and it will continue to produce the promises God has given you. When Israel took a promise of God, they defeated tank corps with bees. When they took a promise of God, they began to replant the desert regions, and the desert regions have become fruitful. In your life, you can turn the deserts of your life into abundant gardens if you will go back to God said. And you will only be defeated when you let another seed into your garden. So when people ask you, if God is good, how come evil happens? Because somebody didn't stay one with God. Because any place God is exalted, good happens. Where does evil happen? Where God is not being exalted. Why do gangs exist? Because somebody didn't teach their children when they rise up and when they lie down the truth of God. And so their children have begun to produce bad seed. You know, we used to have that as a part of our understanding. Oh, they're just bad seed. What does that mean? We used to understand more about God than we do now. Why? We quit paying attention to the details. He said to us in Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, you who slumber. Arise from the dead. Let the word of the kingdom rule in you." He said to us in 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Awaken to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God," and that's where the bad seed grow. But he said, here's how the kingdom works. Keep putting the good seed in, and the kingdom will be established. What is the good seed? God said. This is the work of the enemy of truth. Darkness has a father who is the source of evil. Evil words, unbelieving words, hateful words, frustrate kingdom purpose. There are daily and ongoing struggles in the earth between the forces of good and of evil. Good productive words and evil destructive words will determine the crop that is grown in God's field. The believer must reclaim more territory for the kingdom of light and defeat the evil plans, because if you're continually planting the God seed into the earth, then God will supersede the evil. What does it take to defeat evil? Every one of you that took civics know. In fact, if you took social studies, you got it. What is necessary for evil to triumph? This is how the kingdom works. If good men are doing God business, evil can't rule and reign. But if good men do nothing, if good men are asleep at the wheel, the enemy will come in and wipe out everything God wants done. There's a battle for earth's crop. Words. Satan wants his words growing in the earth. God wants his word growing in the earth. Whether positive, God-centered, or negative, darkness-motivated, words have an effect. Words produce designed intent or impact. Whether it's good words of God or bad words of Satan, words build. Words produce. Words grow. The sower, God, sows the word of creative power into the earth. Satan, the father of lies, attempts to pervert truth and justice, to wreak havoc on God's plans. There's a reason believers are to daily pray Matthew 6:10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." There's a reason believers are to pray, "I curse and cast down every tongue rising against me in judgment. I condemn and call null and void of effect every curse, every incantation, every soulless prayer, every evil word, every wrongful thing spoken. I break it and call it null and void effect and decree. It will not produce in and against my life, that of my children, that of their lives." They are aiding the sowing and impacting of the harvest. Speak God's word only, and my servant will live. Speak God's word only, and your finances will live. Speak God's word only, and your children will be saved. Speak God's word only. But you can't be one moment saying, "My children are disciples, taught of the Lord, and grace their peace and undisturbed composure," and the next minute being saying, "They're just little imps being used of the devil. I don't know why they're so mean and ugly." You can't sow both seeds and rule and reign in kingdom authority. The kingdom of God is as a field. God sows the good. If his people slumber, the enemy slips in. Be diligent, for your enemy, Satan, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking who's asleep at the wheels so he can eat their lunch. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he can't devour you if you won't be devoured, because if you have more good seed being sown by your mouth than the evil seed the wicked one and his followers are sowing, your crop will always triumph. In this parable, God is teaching the building blocks of his rule and reign in the earth. Man, in union with God, and the fact that God said, defeats the forces of evil, doubt, and unbelief. Do you see this introductory kingdom parable differently tonight? He's saying this is how the kingdom works. Good seed continually being sown will produce good crops continually abounding. But anytime you're asleep at the wheel, anytime God's man is not vigilant, not casting down the tongues, not decreeing his kingdom will be done, not saying, I break, curse, and cast down any will apart from your will, and deny it right or access in the earth. How did Satan get from the tree to the earth? Man gave him the authority to walk there. How does the devil get authority in your life? The kingdom operates on good words. The other kingdom of darkness operates on bad words. Excuse me. Which words are you empowering in the earth, and which words are you breaking, calling null and void of effect, and casting down? Every believer, and if somebody near you is not listening at the moment, reach over and slap their pen out of their hand. Make them pay attention. Every believer, Sister Gail, should daily pray Matthew 6:10. Father, I pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Why? You're authorizing those good seeds to grow. And every believer should pray, Father, I decree that every tongue rising in judgment against me, against House of the Lord Fellowship Church, its staff, its leadership, its people, their households, every word contrary to your will is broken, null and void of effect. I curse it today and decree it will not prosper. Now, I daily pray that over you. But church, help me some. All right. Don't repeat the devil's seed. Don't repeat our youth are going to hell in a handbasket. Dear God, don't ever amen somebody foolish enough to say that in church or in your presence. Understand this. The kingdom works on good seed being sown into good ground to produce good crops. The kingdom of darkness operates on bad seed being sown into the same ground to defeat the purpose of the wheat taking over. Any place there's tares growing is a spot wheat can't grow. But the wheat can grow stronger and taller and smother it. You ever notice how one plant in your yard will get up big enough that it cuts the sunshine off of another plant and the other plant dies? Become so strong in kingdom truth that you smother out the lies and the tricks and the schemes of darkness. Anytime someone asks you, if God is good, why does evil happen? From this night forward, say, well, I know why. Because somebody was asleep at the wheels not doing what God wanted them to do, and they let the evil in because they weren't keeping their guard up. Now, did someone get something that you want to add?
Matthew 16 and verse 19, Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the
kingdom,
reign.
Yep.
Of God. Who did he give the keys to? The keys were given to us. When Holly and I closed on our house, We went to go pick up the keys. And when we got the keys, it represented something. That transfer represented something. They gave the keys, went from them to us. And it represented the authority we now had over the home. So then at that property, we were now in a position to determine what happened at that home and on that property because we had been given the keys. When we get the keys, because we have the keys, we now have the authority. And then it goes on to say, I've given you the keys. Now, whatever you declare to be unlawful, whatever you bind, whatever you declare to be unlawful on the earth must be what is already declared to be unlawful in heaven. And whatever you declare to be lawful in the earth must be what is already declared to be lawful in heaven. So again, God is telling us that the authority has been given to us. We have the keys. We can allow in or we can remove out whatever it is that comes against us. So if it's of God, we allow it in. We say that is lawful. That can be here. If it's not, we say that is unlawful. That cannot be here. We don't receive it. And it comes back to Genesis. Let who? Them, man, have dominion over the earth. So God is bringing it back again. I've given you the keys, and that represents the authority I'm now giving to you in the earth.
Brother Brian doesn't believe any of the rest of y'all have anything to say. He turned off the mic. I have said it all. Praise God. Anyone else have anything that you've seen tonight? Something that God has shown you?
Okay, so while you were ministering, I was thinking about the verse before, the chapter before, where God actually gave the law, where he gave Adam the law, which was, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and blessing and calamity, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And I was like, well, why would God give that law? Because it leads to death. It ties into what you're saying about keeping our mind on what the good things were. The verse before that says, and God commanded the man saying, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, keeping our minds on what God has done and on the goodness that he has poured in our life and not meditating the things that we're not supposed to be doing or the things that we're not, you know, keeping our mind focused on the Lord and what he has told us to do.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee through the sin of unbelief and non-performance. Not thy word have I hid in my heart, so I don't smoke and drink and chew and run with those who do, so I don't get into unbelief. Brother John?
All right, I'll try to quickly put my thoughts together, the difference between the tares and the soul. You said when one of the things you minister is that in order for the enemy to get his tares into the, sow the tares into the earth, God's men had to be asleep. And the effect with that was something was sown that when the slaves, the servants of God looked at it, they say, wait a minute, where did that come from? Because it's not looking like what we know you produced. And then you mentioned thorns, and that spoke to me because the product of the tares produced a thorny effect. And if we're looking at that as words, that words are the things that grow up out of a field and produce an effect. Words can come from ideologies, or words form into ideologies, or thoughts, and those thoughts and things that come from tares produce thorns. And then you mentioned this is a part that was that's hard to formulate. But when I formulate it, you will get it. when somebody said something to Jesus and he said, hey, he's going to do this and the devil is whatever, but I'm not worried about the devil because we have nothing in common. They didn't have anything in common. He didn't resonate that you said that I don't have to study all the other doctrines because when I hear the one that I'm familiar with, I resonate with that, right? I resonate with that. I vibe with that. The message to the believer, and here's where God's people going to sleep and the enemy going to thorns. But the believer, when you hear the word of God or when you become familiar with God, we go back to Hebrews and say, hey, a mature believer, you get to eat the meat and their senses are trained to discern both good and evil. You're able to vibe or resonate with whatever is produced of God. However, the things that are not of God, they're thorny and their effect is prickly. And the effect on the individual is damaging. However, within our lives, whenever something damaging affects our lives, and it's interesting you pointed out the part that they were kind of accusatory to, hey, how did that happen? Instead of looking at that and the landowner said, hey, that came from an enemy. That's how that got in there. The effect of when something prickly comes into my life is, God, why did you allow that to happen? And I will say that to this. If it was because God's men came asleep, that doctrines of tares came in to form their own version of the church. Right. And some people have gone through a church experience that was thorny, and it caused them to accuse God and fall away. Some people have gone into love relationships that were prickly and thorny. And because of what happened in that relationship, it produced a prickly effect or a damaging effect that caused them to fall away from God. But the love image that God sowed into the world was not that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. I'm saying that there's a ideology of the marriage that God sowed into the world, that when I say church, you understand, I mean you, that we are to protect. The enemy has come in and sown tares that has produced another ideology. And the only separating factor for that is when I get to see Richard and Michelle interact. That's when the light stands up and says, this is God's image in the earth. However, and this is where I'll have to leave it because I'm still chewing on it. You see what I'm saying? The tares and the wheat are growing together, and it's up to the believer to kind of help separate that so that others can see the light. Or Jesus said it this way, come under your tree, which is now grown taller than the other tree, which is another thing you mentioned, the wheat grows taller, and they can find rest, shelter, rest. Because in here, this is why I tie it to the relationship. Whenever you get in a bad relationship, you feel that where? Right there. When you get that, well, hopefully not our children. When you get that first breakup, when you knew that was the one I was going to marry, and it all comes crashing down because you stole my chocolate bar. The first place you feel that is right in here. Bam. Prickly. And immediately you look up to God. No, you look inward and focus on where's that pain coming from. And instead of giving fruit to the word of God in your life, it draws you in. And you start forming ideologies of this happened because of that, and these people are like that, and because of that, my doctrine is going to be, I'm going to do this. You see how the words come in and begin to cause you to have patterns and behavior that takes you further away from God. Here's where the sleep comes in. If I'm a parent and I don't recognize what's going on in my child,
an ideology that is different from the fruit of God will dwell up in them. And you say, well, I didn't raise them like that. And I said, no, that didn't come from you. An enemy has sown. But you have to be mature so that you can hear and hear the Spirit of God speaking to you and say, hey, you need to say this to your daughter. You need to get your son aside, take him over, and y'all need to talk about that. But I don't know why I should talk about that. Don't worry about that. I'm speaking this to you. Well, I should leave with that, but that resonated with me. We got to go home.
My sheep hear the good seed. And the seed of another, they will not allow to grow.
Just to kind of piggyback on what my brother was just sharing, and I heard in my spirit, something that you've reminded us of, Pastor, is that even in the midst of a word like this going forth, the enemy can lie to people and say, well, you said this, or you said this long time ago. But one thing Pastor reminded us long time ago is that we have the ability to speak crop failure over those thorns that we might have sown. So don't allow, you know, the word lets us know that the enemy, his name, he is the accuser of the brethren. So he can throw it in our face. So, well, Pastor Jim spoke this word, but you know, yesterday you said this and you did this. We have the authority to speak crop failure over those things and know for a surety that the Lord will honor that. So I just want to encourage you, whatever you might have spoken in the past, you have the ability, I have the ability, we have the ability to speak crop failure and decree that the good seed will be sown into the good ground. Amen.
And sometimes we count on God for crop failure. Because sometimes I'll be in the Word of God now, and I'll think about things that I taught 30, 40 years ago because they were things that I was taught. And it took me a while to recognize that I'd been taught a lot of wrong things, and I had to, as I grew in the Word of God, reject those things. And it's comforting to hear the Lord say to you, don't worry about it, son. I covered those words. They didn't really hear you. But you can say, Father God, any word that's come out of my mouth that is not kingdom word, I pray for crop failure on it in my witness and in the ears of those who heard it. Because I know better now, God, so I can't go back and unteach every lesson or message or thing I told someone, but you can kill it because I curse those words and decree they're null and void of effect. I call you the blessed of the Lord. I decree that you are good seed and you're growing up strong and producing the fruit of righteousness, and lives are being changed and transformed because of your correct witness of Jehovah, Lord of hosts. And because the Lord of light shines in you, the darkness is being broken around you. From this day forward, you are greater and stronger in God than ever before. And the people said,
amen.
Blessings are overtaking you.